masked savior.
Oh, the savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to the Lost Savior. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is your humble host, Zainab. Dear listeners, I hope you're doing fine, you're doing great, wherever you are. And in case anyone from any part of the world is not feeling well, on this holy land, we pray for your health and your prosperity, your success, inshallah. Dear listeners, in this show, we had been talking about the false claimants of Mahdawiyyah who claim to be Mahdi or who claim to be attached to Mahdi one or the other way. And on that note, we had been talking to an Islamic scholar, Dr. Murtaza Karimi, and we had this pleasure again to invite him yet again on the show. Assalamu alaikum, Doctor.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome to the show. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Karimi, in the last episode, we discussed about the tricks that these claimants use. And one of the tricks that was being used was miracle. And people so easily believe in it because that's some extraordinary thing you're doing that the normal people cannot do. Now you talk about the person that we have currently in Basra. What kind of miracles does he use? Or like, I would want you to expand or analyze these miracles.
This false claimant from Basra, he says that I have a couple of miracles. One of them is that he says that I know where the grave of Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha is. She is buried next to her son, Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, in the cemetery of Baqi. And the other ones are quoted by his followers. They say that, for example, a person suffering from cancer was healed and cured because of the fact that he believed in this person, in this false claimant. And in other report and a story, we are told that he put his hand or rubbed his hand on the eyes of a couple of people, and then they were able to see the angel.
So, or like who were... He rubbed his hand on the eyes of the people who were blind, or like he rubbed his hand on the eyes of people to give them extraordinary capability to see angels.
Yeah, these are reported by his followers.
All
now,
right.
Analyzing these miracles, we said that miracle is something that, first of all, cannot be done by other people. And second of all, the other important feature of miracle that it should be performed in front of other people. So imagine Jesus alayhi salam comes to people and tell them that I'm the prophet. Why? Because 10 days ago I cured a person in my house and none of you were present. So no one would believe in him. Miracles should be performed in front of the people so that people come to believe in him. Moses alayhi salam performed his miracles in front of the people and before Pharaoh, for example. So this is the point. Now, when it comes to the miracles attributed to this person, we see that just they are reported in the books published by the same people. So it's not the way to prove that this is a kind of miracle. If you are telling the truth, you need to, invite all the people, including the people, at least a number of the people, including those who do not believe in you, and then perform the miracle. And claim that I'm Imam or related to Imam Mahdi.
I have this capability of doing miracles.
So any person just can claim that yesterday I did a lot of miracles in my house and no one was present except my children, for example, but believe in me. I mean, it's ridiculous to have such
a
claim.
And that way everyone does miracles.
Yeah, does miracles, yeah. So this is the first point about those miracles like, healing the people and so on and so forth, or the claim that those people were able to see the angels and so on and so forth. This should be done in front of the people, and none of them has been, done based on this condition. They are just reported stories of those who are following him.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Karimi, we'll be talking to you about these tricks. Here we need to take a short break. The listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever.
The next point is that the miracle of a prophet or imam should not go against the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. When it comes to the grave of Lady Fatima Zahra Salamun alayha, first of all, it is not a miracle. Technically, miracle is an act that you do and other people cannot do the same. You just claim that her grave is in Baqi. I may claim that no, her grave is next to her father or in her house. Anyone can make the same claim. I mean, what is your argument to prove that? So exactly. Again, technically speaking, it's not, I mean, a miracle to begin with. And not only that, when we refer to the narrations of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, we see that, first of all, there are different viewpoints regarding the place where Fatimah Zahra Salamun Alayha was buried. And Baqi is one of the weakest ones based on the narrations in Shia sources.
All right.
And I mean, most of the narrations, they refer to her house and maybe next to the, in Masjid al-Nabi and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So to believe that she is buried in Baqi is going against many narrations that we have in Shia sources. And the next point is that there was a philosophy behind hiding the grave of Fatima Zahra Salamun Alayha by Imam Hayy
al-Islam. She herself wanted to get buried at night. She did not want anyone to know about it. Like when she was alive, she tells all that to Imam Ali al-Islam. Mm-hmm. However, like how can we as the followers of her tell today that her grave is there when she herself does not want people to know about it?
So the request of Fatima Zahra Salamun Alayha was based on a wisdom. What was done by Imam Ali alayhi salam was based on a wisdom. And now if you want to reveal that place, it means that you're going against that wisdom. And according to the narrations, it is the job of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam who will tell the people about
Where is the grave of the lady Zahra?
So having said that, we come to this conclusion that unfortunately some of these false claimants, they just claim to have performed miracles, but when we analyze their actions, we see that none of them has those conditions which are mentioned in the books of theology for a mu'jiza or a miracle.
As you talk about these tricks, there's one more interesting thing. That is a dream that you mentioned about in the earlier episode. However, I would want you to expand that topic. What is this dream kind of thing? How is this used as a trick?
Yes, we have had a couple of sessions talking about dream in details, so I don't want to repeat all those discussions. Just quickly, to refer to dream as one of the tricks of the false claimant. Unfortunately, this is one of the most common tricks of different false claimants. We can see in the history of Islam, people like Abdullah bin Hashim, who passed away in 658, Fadlullah Hurufi, 796 after Hijra. He founded a sect called Hurufiya. And Muhammad ibn Abdullah Nurbash, he passed away in 869, and he was the founder of Nur Bakhshiya sect.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them, they tried to prove their viewpoints based on dreams. They told the people that in a dream you will be told that I'm telling you the truth. In our time, we have a person called Mahdi Sudani, who passed away in 1302 after Hijra. Mirza Ahmed Qadiani, he passed away in 08 AD, Juhayman al-Utaybi, and last but not the least, of course, this false claimant from Basra that we have talked about him a lot. All of them, they have resorted to a dream to prove that they are telling the truth. Not only that, in our time, again, we have another false claimant. I don't want to mention his name. But he says that dream is one of the pillars of Islam.
All right.
And he says that if the whole religion has two pillars, one of them is for sure the dream.
Dream.
You need to believe in this. You need to accept this from me. Otherwise, you are a disbeliever. I repeat that. If the religion of Islam has two pillars, one of them is dream.
Dream. And if you do not believe in one of these pillars, like dream,
yeah,
you are a disbeliever.
Yeah. Again, it's very unfortunate to see that for any of these false claimants, we have a couple of, a few people who are accepting their viewpoints. Because of those sessions, I'm not going to repeat what all those points that I mentioned. I just refer to one narration in this regard. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asks one of his companions about what people, especially the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, do in their prayers regarding, for example, ruku, bowing down, and prostration, sujood. The companion says that I explained the Imam the way that they are saying their prayers, and the reason is that they claim that Ubay ibn Ka'b, he saw a dream, and it was the way that prayer was performed in his dream. Now, the answer of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, I think, is the criterion for our discussion on dream. Imam alayhi salam says that إن دين الله عز وجل أعز من أن يرى في النوم. The religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more honored than to be seen in a dream. Meaning that you should not take your religion from dream. Religion needs to be based on, rational arguments, based on Quran, based on the narrations. When we refer to the Shia scholars, we see that, for example, Sheikh al-Mufid, he says that we do not prove even any of the Islamic laws based on the dreams.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to fiqh or jurisprudence, you cannot find any Shia jurist to say that this is my verdict because I saw a dream and I saw, for example, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and he told me that this is the Islamic law for prayer, fasting. No.
The jurisprudence use Quran, Sunnah, and...
And intellect.
In fact, the intellect.
Yeah.
As the sources to take out or draw some of the, rulings.
Mm-hmm. So when this is the case for jurisprudence, for sure, for beliefs, we cannot resort to a dream.
And in case of belief, it's interesting that in jurisprudence, you can imitate, but in belief, you cannot imitate. You can use reason and logic. You have to use reason and logic to analyze things,
as well,
to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I cannot believe in Allah if someone else is believing in Allah as well. I have to use logic, intellect, and I have to analyze things. I have to use my wisdom to reach that point. Yes, Allah does exist.
Mm-hmm.
I have to analyze nature and, see Allah in each and everything. Not just believe in Allah, just like, for example, my parents believe in Allah. But in jurisprudence, we have imitation, not in belief. And this is a part of belief we are talking about.
That's the point. So, our dear listeners, if you find any claimant who says that if you want to know that I'm with the truth, you may recite the following prayer, supplication, or fast for a couple of days, and then you will be told in a dream that I'm with the truth. Again, make sure that he's a liar, because this is not rooted in our religion. Our Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, they have instructed us to take the religion from the Quran, from the Ahlul Bayt, from the Prophet and our intellect, and not from a dream.
Of course. However, Doctor, it was really very nice to be with you on the show. You really added to our knowledge. Thank you so much. And I think the people who are really troubled enough, those are the people who become victims of these claimants. Inshallah, may Allah help them. Dr. Karimi, as he suggested, all the people to use intellect, Quran and Sunnah, and obviously the Imams, in order to believe in these things or not. Thank you so much for listening to IRIB English Radio. This was The Last Savior. For now, this is Zainab with our whole team saying goodbye. Where is the-